The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here to talk about my favorite soap and hopefully yours too. It's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. February is Think Spring Month at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their Soap for Squares traditional soap set. There's nothing particularly hilarious or odd about these soaps. It's just a four-pack of fancy wooden printing block soaps, making each one a substantial slab of suds. Only $20 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. Let's start the show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hi, I'm Clint Webb, and I'm running for Senate. I have a short cropped haircut, a pretty enough yet accessible looking wife, and a newborn baby that I've dressed in a suit to prove to you that I mean business. For the last 15 years, I've lived my life in such a bland, uncontroversial, and repressed manner that it's almost unnatural. Why? Because I've been preparing to be a representative since I was a child. Most well-adjusted, sane men would be hesitant to take a job where their decisions would so drastically affect the lives of so many. But not me. I possess a sort of sociopathic narcissism that makes me think that I should be in charge of everyone. But all of that needs to start here at home, in this beautiful state that I've grown to love since I moved here 18 months ago. Together, we can piggyback some of our state's legitimate needs onto my unquenchable lust for self-glorification. And that's a promise.
All of my motives are ulterior. I'm self-involved to the point of psychosis. My soul is terrifying.
And that's leadership. So this November, let's send Washington a message.
And what is that message? Hey, me.
You're always 1, 2, 3 jumps ahead. Stick with us, you'll be well fed.
With happy music all the while.
Easy listening with a smile.
Keep jumping, follow suit. You're gonna have a bright new future.
Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Thursday, February 18, 2016. This is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza.
Hey there.
Sitting right there. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob Chez or click the link in the podcast page. All right, we're going to start off the show on a, shall we say, pissed off note.
Is the show really ever any different?
Well, this is something that I saw today, and it's not something that we normally talk about on this show. Usually we stick with politics or maybe a little bit of pop culture thrown in there.
Who cut in front of you in line at the grocery store?
No one in particular. The thing is, though, there's this story going around Facebook and Twitter, and it's horrifying. And at first I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I realized that it's an actual story. It's not like something that happened 2 years ago and it just happened to be revived by social media. You know, the way that happens sometimes.
You're talking about the dolphin story.
I'm talking about the dolphin story, yes. Okay, in case you hadn't heard.
I love how I said that like Greg Marmalard in Animalist. You're talking about Delta, sir.
This pissed me off. And it's just because, you know, it's my... I don't know. It's just my natural hatred of humanity that comes bubbling to the surface whenever I see something
sure,
like this.
Sure. Look, man, you are talking to just a very proud misanthrope.
Yep. My misanthropy knows no bounds today, and it's after seeing this picture of these effing morons at this beach in Argentina. Oh, wait, it's in, where? It's in Brazil. It's not Argentina. It's Brazil.
Is it Brazil? I thought it was Argentina.
Where does it say? Oh, it's also, yeah, this kind of dolphin has also been seen off the shores of, okay, yeah, it is Argentina, but it's seen in Brazil, too. But these grinning idiots who yank this little teeny tiny and endangered dolphin out of the water at the beach and just passed it around so everyone could take a selfie with it. Yeah. This is what the selfie culture has come to. And this dolphin, of course, was left on the beach to die. And they say that this is a rare form of dolphin. Not only that, but that it needs, you know, to be in the water in order to survive. Fancy
wow,
that.
Imagine that. A dolphin needs to be in the water.
It says here, a rare La Plata dolphin died earlier this month after a group of beachgoers apparently took it out of the ocean, then surrounded and handled it. Sky News obtained video of a person removing a dolphin from the water in Santa Teresita, a coastal town about 350 kilometers southeast of Buenos Aires. And beachgoers took photos of a dolphin that appears to have been left to die in the sand. It is unclear why the dolphin was initially removed from the water. Well, it's obvious why it was removed from the water, because it's awesome. Yeah. It'd make for an awesome selfie on Facebook. Then it'll go viral, but it's gone viral for the wrong reasons. The Argentine Wildlife Organization released a statement urging people to return the dolphins to the sea if they come across them. But boy, we're ignorant, selfish, destructive people, aren't we? This is just, I mean, this. I'm surprised this sort of thing doesn't happen all the time. Although it does, it's just people going to Africa and hunting exotic animals and then having their grinning photo taken over the corpse.
I'm not concerned, because once the Star Trek IV probe arrives and begins sucking the seas up because it can't find this one particular dolphin.
I mean, I can't believe it. This is actually something that people did. I mean, they yanked this creature out of the water.
Because people are horrible.
They're pigs. I mean, they're god-awful. God-awful.
Yeah, this spectacular creature and you know, basically 1,000 Kardashians on the beach had to pull it out of the water and take pictures.
That's right. It's disgusting. It's this kind of crap, this kind of self-centered crap, like, doesn't matter. As long as we can get a selfie and get a bunch of attention on Facebook. That's the most important thing in life, is just get as much attention as you can on Facebook. Doesn't matter what you do to get that attention.
Yep.
And in this case, they killed this poor animal. He's probably just freaked out. I mean, just looking at this picture, and I hate looking at this crap. In fact, most of the time when I see this come down on my Facebook feed, I either hide it or I unfollow the person who shares it. Because right. I don't like seeing unsolicited photos of animals being tortured or killed. But this is one of those ones that I stopped and I went, you know what? I'm not going to hide this. I'm not going to hide this, because this is all you need to see in order to understand why people like Chez and I are such misanthropes.
Yeah, sure.
Jesus God. But you know what? You know, and this especially goes for guys who whip out their phones in the bathroom to take naked pictures of themselves, or crotch shots, dick pics to send around unsolicited to people. Put your fucking phone away.
Yeah.
I mean, just for once, put your goddamn phone down. Not everything is a subject of photography. You don't have to document every goddamn thing you do. You certainly do not have to kill endangered species in order to get a fucking selfie.
It's staggering to think that like where we were just a few years ago when our phones didn't have cameras.
Can you imagine going ahead and like being in 1984 or something like that, 1983, and then going ahead in time and you're saying, what do you have in your phone? Oh, yeah, I've got a camera. It's in my telephone. So they've put a camera in your telephone. Yeah, there's a camera.
That I carry around in my pocket. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that as maybe a subject for like one of the Banter magazine pieces. But it dawns on me that between, I want to say, God, honestly, between maybe the end of high school and the beginning of smartphone culture, it's a dead zone for me in terms of having pictures of myself.
Yeah, really?
I have very few pictures of myself.
Me too.
I mean, until your phone could take a picture, before that period, there's that whole like blackout period where I'm not even sure I really existed.
I don't know if you saw that Norm Macdonald stand-up, right? It was one of the last Letterman shows. But Norm Macdonald got up there and he was talking about, you know, there was a time when you'd have one picture of yourself. There'd be one picture, like in the 1800s, there'd be one like glass plate photo of you and your wife looking surly and in sepia tones. And that'd be the picture. Here's your grandfather in 1898. This is the one picture of him. So you fast forward 100 years from now, 100 years from 2016, it'll be, grandkids saying, oh, here's Here's a picture of your grandfather. Oh, wait, it's not just one picture. It's 100,000 pictures of your grandfather. From the moment they were conceived all the way up through their moment of death.
Yeah, exactly.
Including all of the selfies with the endangered animals. Somewhere in there.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that the people who took these pictures are dumb enough to put them up on the internet. Because that's a really easy way to try. I mean, that's the thing about our modern culture is that we're so used to showing off oversharing every single thing that we do that it's so easy to bust people doing horrible things now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're more than happy to tell you about it.
Well, these people, I don't care how old they are. I don't care what degree of education they have. They deserve to be shamed.
Oh yeah, no,
they deserve to be shamed because what they're doing here is they're not killing this animal because they were trying to rescue it. I mean, I've seen videos online of people trying to rescue sharks and making like a gully in the sand to drag gigantic sharks that are just snapping away at them, and they're doing their best to save the shark, but dragging the shark back to the water. Right. So this wasn't some futile effort to save this dolphin. They're passing it around so they can have their goddamn picture taken with it.
I agree.
It's like, what the hell? The dolphin's going, Jesus Christ, put me back in the fucking water. You know, there's no real way. I'm sorry. There's no real way to make this funny. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with politics. But I don't care. This is one of those things that we're all looking at on social media today and going, what the hell is our problem? Yeah. Seriously.
What's wrong with us as humanity?
Yeah. And how does this...
As a species.
How does this represent the broader issues with humanity? And so far as... humanity being utterly selfish and destructive in a way that will be destructive to ourselves more than anything else in the long run. The Earth will
it
be
will.
Just... I mean,
I'm
it's,
telling you, when the Star Trek probe comes back.
The Star Trek probe comes back.
It's going to destroy us all because it can't find that one dolphin.
And Spock has to calculate in his head the speed at which the Klingon warbird has to circulate around
the sun. They'll have to, the Enterprise, or not the Enterprise, the Bird of Prey will have to go back in time. And what they'll have to do is basically the crew of the Enterprise will have to arrive on that beach and begin summarily executing with their phasers everyone.
By the way.
And then take the dolphin, put it in, I assume, a cup of water. Mm-hmm. Since really you don't need transparent aluminum, since it does not really doesn't have to be a big tank. You know, you put the dolphin in a cup of water, you bring the dolphin back to the future when the probe shows up.
Yeah.
Dump it in a sink somewhere, put it back in the water.
What they have to do is go back in time just before this particular dolphin was yanked out of the water for the selfies on the beach.
Right.
All right. So, let's see here. The big news story of the day is obviously, what is it, the Pope? Pope Francis said on Thursday, the Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's plan to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border is, quote-unquote, not Christian. Speaking aboard his papal plane after visiting Mexico.
I want a papal plane.
He was on the papal plane. When I was really bored in school, I used to make papal planes. Fly them across the classroom. Yeah, the Pope was down there in Mexico. He was taking a picture of himself with a dolphin on the beach. Anyway, the Pope was visiting Mexico and was asked specifically about Trump's proposal. And he said, quote, a person who only thinks about building walls wherever they may be and not building bridges is not Christian. He said, according to reporters who were on the plane with the pontiff on the papal plane. The Pope stressed that he was not suggesting whom American voters should support in the election. Quote, I am not going to get involved in that. Can you imagine if he got involved in the Bernie Hillary thing?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I like Bernie Sanders. I just believe that his plans won't work. He won't be able to get his agenda through Congress.
And the Pope says, like, I'm out of here. I'm off Twitter. I'm leaving Twitter. Goodbye.
Yep.
Gets rid of his Twitter account. I'm not commenting on this at all. It's all the Hitler-y bots coming after. It's all the Bernie bots too. No one likes me.
The Bernie bros.
The Bernie bros. I'm not going to get involved with that, the Pope said. I would only say that this man is not Christian if he has said things like that. But then Trump tweeted. what does he say? The director of social media for Donald Trump's presidential campaign tweeted this. It didn't say Trump didn't do it.
Right.
But his director of social media said on Thursday that Pope Francis was a hypocrite for saying Trump's advocating for a border wall made him not Christian. And this guy wrote, Dan Scavino, who's the director of social media for Trump. He said, quote, amazing comments from the Pope, considering Vatican City is 100% surrounded by massive walls, right? Yeah. I mean, it's true. The entire Vatican City is walled off. But, I mean, these are ancient, ancient walls. I mean, it's not like Pope Francis came in and built the wall. It's like, all right,
yeah. Pope's... And they made Rome pay for it.
Pope's in the house. Let's bring out the walls. Bring them out. And, we'll get the Italian people to pay for this. Right, and I'll just convince them. We'll build a big, beautiful wall.
Have you ever taken a step back
and
thought about the fact that we are sitting here right now seriously talking about Donald Trump as running for president of the United States?
Yeah.
He is a force in this election.
No.
Absolutely.
This buffoon, this narcissistic monster.
And he's gonna win the nomination.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, I feel like Mugatu, you know? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like, I cannot believe.
Yeah.
It's like some parallel universe where Argentinians take pictures with an amazing animal and then kill it. And Donald Trump is having a fight with the Pope.
Right. Donald Trump.
This fucking monkey.
Donald Trump, who normally fights with people like Howard Stern, is now fighting with the Pope.
The Pope, because he's running for president.
He's running for president, and he's going to win the nomination. Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. I mean, unless all the polling is wrong, unless it's just like egregiously wrong. You know, of course, Ted Cruz is going to win a couple. Ted Cruz is going to probably win Texas. Marco Rubio is going to win a couple of the southern states, South Carolina, maybe North Carolina. Donald Trump is going to win most of the states. He's going to get the nomination rather quickly. We're going to have Donald Trump as the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party before we have a nominee on the Democratic side.
And that's amazing.
That's the way it usually is, but it's going to happen that way this time, too.
This budding fascist dictator bully.
Yeah.
It's just, genuinely, I can't, it's so hard to picture this.
Yeah.
You know, everything that I grew up with for 46 years, I never imagined that even when things got really bad, and things have been terrible for the past 7 years in terms of the idiocy that's out there.
Yeah.
But I could never picture this. I always thought we're sane.
Yep.
Deep down, we're at least sane enough to not allow something like this to happen.
I can't help but to think, and this kind of binds both the stories we've done during this segment together. I just can't help but to think that this is a social media thing. That somehow the existence and prominence of social media now more than it was in 2012 or 2008, now more than ever, it's social media driving this election. Otherwise, otherwise, there would have been more Trump-style candidates in previous elections. We're only getting Trump now and all of the nincompoopery that goes on around him because of the existence of social media. All this stuff flying around. All of this stuff being perpetuated by the desire to have viral posts on social media.
Yeah.
And that's why.
I think you're right.
That's what encourages Donald Trump. Certainly, the cable news networks have their fair share of the blame. But cable news was around 4 years ago and 8 years ago and 16 years ago, blah, blah, blah. We didn't have Trump then. We didn't have this level of insanity. We didn't have, you know, political candidates talking about building big, beautiful doors and getting into feuds with the Pope or having to apologize for saying naughty words.
That's a really good word, by the way. The feud.
Feuds.
Because that's what this is. This is like, you know, this is like a rap feud.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Or a social media Twitter feud. That's what this is. That's what this entire election is now.
I mean, there was a guy.
And I don't think there's any coming back from this.
I don't know. I hope there is. I mean, I still have a scotch of hope here in all of this that maybe it'll get bottled up. But I doubt it. I mean, we had one guy who, in the midst of his ambient sleepwalking, Ben Carson, who misquoted a Facebook meme during the debate. Facebook memes.
Yep. Yeah.
That's become a thing. We have to fact check the candidates because they're repeating Facebook memes and the worst kinds of Facebook memes that misquote historical figures.
Yeah, I know. Those are awful.
We all know that we shouldn't be spreading those things around because most of the time they're misquoted or misattributed to the wrong person. But that's what
somebody,
that's somebody I know,
by the way. I haven't told anybody this because I couldn't comment on her thing. She's somebody I like a lot. But somebody I know put up this this meme the other day, and it was this great thing about it's this quote about, you know, you have to love yourself because if you do, you know, great things will happen to you or something like that. You know, you can't love, you know, a total Hallmark card sentiment. You can't love others if you can't love yourself. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And it was attributed, I swear to you, to Aristotle.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say Abraham Lincoln.
To Aristotle. And I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, God, no, no,
no.
And I looked it up. Aristotle Onassis said that.
Aristotle Onassis.
Huge difference. Huge difference.
Dumb, 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 dumb. All right, we're going to talk more. Mika Brzezinski let Trump have it on MSNBC last night. We're going to get to that right after we talk about this. All right, let's talk about Harry's razors. We never think about the fact that shaving razors are expensive as hell. Expensive as hell, exclusively for the millionaires and the billionaires, as Bernie Sanders likes to say. Why? Why the hell are they so expensive? Harry's is the only shaving company that has both quality razors and amazingly low prices. Quality in terms of German-engineered, five-blade cartridges, close, comfortable shaves, no cuts or burns, no razor burn. The quality is guaranteed. Full refund if you're not happy. Plus the price, factory direct prices, cut out the middleman and ships right to your door. They sell their blades at half the price of the leading brand. Over 1 million guys have already made the switch and thousands more switch every day. Here's how you can become a Harry's true believer. Go to harrys.com, that's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and pick up the Harry's starter set. It's an amazing deal for just $15. You get a razor, get your moisturizing shave cream, you get your three razor blades. Best of all, I've been shaving with Harry's for weeks now with no razor burn, just clean, smooth, close shaves every time that feel great. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your armpits and your legs, too, if you like to shave those. Go to harrys.com and enter the promo code BNC, B-A-N-D-C, for Bob and Chez. Get $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face with Harry's razors. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, welcome back to our Thursday show. Thanks for joining us.
I'm going to start doing that, by the way.
What?
I'm going to put up, in the end, it doesn't even matter, Abraham Lincoln. No, sorry, that's Lincoln Park.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that's right.
People always told me, be careful of what you do. Don't go around breaking young girls' hearts. Andrew Jackson.
God, you got to do that. I'll pay to see that. We'll collaborate. We'll make some memes with misattributed quotes. Anyway, so Mika Brzezinski interviewed the sort of a town hall with just Donald Trump last night on MSNBC. It was Mika Brzezinski and vice presidential hopeful Joe Scarborough, who's clearly, far be it from me to actually agree with something Greg Gutfeld has said, but it's quite obvious that Joe Scarborough has been auditioning to be Trump's vice presidential nominee. And it's just been all over, just basically Trump off every chance he gets. And that was kind of the case last night during this Trump town hall. But Mika Brzezinski totally let Trump have it with kind of a trick question, which is it's surprising that Trump hasn't gone off on Mika Brzezinski today on Twitter. Or maybe he has.
Right.
But, this is one of those situations where he kind of should have. Because she completely nailed him. Okay, so she starts out by saying, I wanted to describe a candidate to you. She's saying this to Trump.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
The candidate is considered a political outsider by all the pundits. He's tapping into the anger of the voters, delivers a populist message. He believes everyone in the country should have health care. He advocates for hedge fund managers to pay higher taxes. He's drawing thousands of people at his rallies and bringing in a lot of new voters to the political process. And he's not beholden to any super PAC. Who am I describing? She asked. And of course, his response was, "You're describing Donald Trump."
Yep. Beautifully done.
Yeah. She said,
"Great troll job." Sorry, I have a cold, by the way. I apologize.
Yeah, I can tell. yeah, I can totally tell.
No, I know it sounds terrible.
She was actually describing Bernie Sanders. Duh.
Right.
But I mean, it's funny that Donald Trump didn't see that line coming down Main Street. He was like, oh, she's going to trap me here. She's talking about someone else. She's not talking about me. But of course, he always thinks everyone's talking about him.
Right. That's it. Exactly.
So, of course, he's going to think. But then he said, I'll tell you, there's one thing that we're very similar in, Trump admitted. It's, I guess, similar to Bernie Sanders. He knows that our country is being ripped off big league on trade, he said. Problem is, he can't do anything about it. Well, neither can Trump yet.
Right.
Trump has to be president in order to do something about it.
Trump can. But that's the important thing to remember. He can. That's the thing. We will win so much that you'll get tired of winning merely by virtue of the fact that he is Donald Trump and he wins.
Yeah, that's what he does. Winning. Oh, good Lord.
I mean, I can't imagine what it's like for people who work. Like, what is it like for Mika Brzezinski? What is it like for people who work in, you know, Jake Tapper?
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about serious people in TV news or serious people in print. How do you look into a camera or write a story with a straight face without just like collapsing and saying, why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
How is this happening?
Yeah. What has led us to this point? And there are going to be the books and they're going to be the think pieces after this is all over about what contributed to all of it. And I swear to God, it's got to be the one thing, the one missing element that wasn't there in previous elections, and that is the sheer volume and power of social media. I mean,
it's social media, and it's the splintering of our culture through social media.
There are Facebook pages that you and I have never heard of, and no one listening to this show right now. I mean, I'm talking about tens of thousands of people download this show every week. Not one of us have heard of some of these Facebook pages. And you know what? They have millions and millions of followers.
You're right.
Millions. Where each one has their own, each Facebook page has its own narrow cast.
Yep.
And all they need to do is broadcast out to their sort of their cult set of followers. And then that gets blanketed out elsewhere.
Yeah, that's it.
And it all starts on these Facebook pages. And this is, again, this is stuff that didn't exist 4 years ago. I mean, yes, there was Facebook 4 years ago, obviously.
Not like this. Not like today.
Not like this. Not like this. And I'm not going to get into details or anything like that. But in the last several months, since I've been away from the Daily Banter, I've been out in the world. I set out and marched out into the countryside and across the fields and plains and oceans and went into the big city. And I saw how things are. And it's not pretty. I'm telling you, it's ugly out there. Seriously. I mean, I've witnessed over the last few months the sheer power that Facebook wields. Yeah. And there's also a social experimental aspect of Facebook that we can get into at another time. It's, I think our misanthropy pales in comparison to Mark Zuckerberg's misanthropy. I think Facebook is set up as a massive social experiment. But regardless, the power that it wields to deliver a message is staggering. And if it goes away, that message goes away. There will be countless websites that disappear off the face of the earth if Facebook goes away.
Absolutely.
Because Facebook is delivering almost exclusively all of the traffic to some of these websites. Talking about, like, we'll just bring up an example that we mentioned earlier on the show. Maybe it was Tuesday or last Thursday. Like U.S. Uncut. That Bernie Sanders propaganda.
Uncut, if Facebook went away, you know what a really good example is, honestly?
What's that?
Not nice guy, but Chuck Johnson.
Oh, yeah, Chuck Johnson, too.
I mean, for the most part, let's you know, he may still be around kicking, doing horrible things, mm-hmm. but nobody gives a anymore.
Right.
He's gone. He vanished when his Twitter presence went away.
That's right. That's right. Has no power anymore.
When his social media, when his primary social media platform said no to him, that's it. He vanished.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the thing. That's the irony, is that there is an amazing amount of power out there on Facebook, right? And I'm speaking specifically of Facebook. Twitter doesn't have this power. Twitter is an amazing communication tool, but if you look at statistics of any website, most of the traffic that's incoming to that website, if it's getting any traffic at all, comes from Facebook. Twitter, distant, way down the list of the top 10 referrers to any website. Twitter just does not translate into traffic for an outside website. Facebook, all the time. I mean, it would blow you away to see the kind of traffic that Facebook brings to certain websites. So that's amazing amounts of power. But the irony is that it's power that's being granted by the almighty Zuckerberg.
It is. It's true.
And as soon and when and we experience
and that's why everything at Banter changed, our fortunes changed when Zuckerberg changed the algorithm. And the reason he changed the algorithm is because he woke up one morning and realized, wait a minute, I'm basically the key to the success of every one of these sites.
Oh yeah. I mean,
They're not going to get it for free anymore.
Hundreds of thousands of websites are getting their traffic from Facebook, and finally, you're right. Zuckerberg said, we can monetize this. Yeah. And so like fucking Immortan Joe in the Mad Max movie, Fury Road, turns on the water, turns off the water.
Absolutely.
Everyone floods up and tries to get all that water into their little baskets and they, you know, and then they, and Immortan Joe turns off the water and then they start fighting amongst themselves and it's chaos.
Yep.
But, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg is that character and that water is traffic. And he can give it and he can take it away. It's only a matter of time before that happens. And just as an experiment, it'll come right back. But they're toying with us. But regardless, it's really shaping the entire atmosphere of this election. We're going to take another break and come back. Maybe we'll talk more about this. Maybe we'll get into Bernie v. Hillary Dawn of losing the general election right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez and sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, brief programming note. I'm sorry to say there will be no after party tomorrow. The after party for this week, we're going to have to wait until next week for the big after party. We've got some personal matters to take care of all day Friday.
I'll be out for the weekend. My apologies, everybody.
So we'll definitely hit you with an extra long after party next week. So our apologies to our Patreon people and especially, oh my God, you know what we got today?
What?
We got someone pledged on Patreon $150 a month.
That's nice.
Dude, I don't know why I played the...
why'd you play like
that? I don't know why I played that. No, it's supposed to be something something huge. It's supposed to be huge. Well, the round of applause, I think, we'll do. I don't know if she wants me to reveal her name on the show, but thank you to, well, you know who you are, for a massive, massive contribution to the show. Thanks. Really, really, really appreciate that. Yeah. And also, by the way, if you want to support the show, go to, and you want to do some shopping too, go to bobseska.com, click our Amazon link, and it'll take you right to amazon.com. And if you do that, if you go through our link, we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. So thank you for doing that. All right. So moving along here, I guess we're going to do Bernie v. Hillary. All right. I don't even know why I should mention this, because by the time people listen to the show, it's going to be over already. But there's going to be another town hall event on MSNBC with Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton. It's going to start at 8 p.m. with an interview with Vice President Joe Biden. who will maybe talk about how call centers are sent overseas.
How many times you get the call? I'd like to talk to you about your credit card.
And then the event will conclude with special network coverage by Rachel Maddow at 11 p.m. Eastern Time as well. So after the interview with Joe Biden, there'll be the town hall thing where I guess they're asked individually by audience members. There's no real debate. It's just a Q&A. And Telemundo will also air the town hall in Spanish. And even and the event can be live streamed through MSNBC TV. All right, so that's happening tonight. You know, I wrote something for my first article back at the Daily Banter. So far, 24 hours later, still haven't received a satisfactory answer to my question, which is basically, how does Bernie plan to get his legislative agenda passed? And right. All I'm looking for is not, I don't even know, because this doesn't usually happen in politics. I don't need to know the specifics of the roadmap to passing things like single payer. I don't need to know those details. All I want to know is whether or not Bernie Sanders and his advisors have developed a roadmap to passing those things. Because in absence of that, it's just empty populism. There's no substance to it if there's no plan to actually achieving any of this. It's like saying, I'm going to give every man, woman, and child in the United States $100 million. Well, how do you intend to do it? Where are you going to get that money? Is it going to come? You're going to deficit spend that? How's it going to work? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to do it. Well, but then unless you're telling us how to get there, it's like, I'm going to go to the moon. Well, how are you going to go to the moon? Well, I'm just going to go there. How are you going to get a rocket ship? I mean, what the hell? How are you going to do that? It's just as ludicrous to say, I'm going to pass single payer and I'm going to break up the big banks and everyone's going to get universal college education. But unless you have a plan to get it through Congress, or if you have a plan for executive orders, I don't know, an entire slate of executive orders. Tell us that. And so far, nobody has given me an answer to that. It's all the answers that I predicted, which were, well, revolution.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. That's how. And if I'm told how, if you know what, get me to vote for Bernie Sanders in the California primary. If someone were to just answer that question in a satisfactory way and in a serious way, not 140 characters on Twitter, I want to know how this stuff is going to be passed.
Yep.
Or again, that there is a plan. Because
political revolution. Feel the burn.
The idea of there being a plan where Bernie Sanders gets up and says, you know, I've talked to my advisors and my advisors have told me we've gotten together. We spent nights and weekends and we come up with a solution and we're going to pass this and this is how we're going to do it. Then I'd be like, well, OK, I'm on board. But that hasn't happened. And I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen because the bottom line is he doesn't have a plan.
Yeah. And it's just like... You know, unless there's a plan, for example.
It really is. It's just political revolution.
Because my
political revolution, I can't do it alone.
My concern as a realist is that election day, say Bernie Sanders becomes the nominee, election day rolls around. Everyone, all the Bernie people, everyone, all Democrats, we all go out and we support Bernie Sanders on election day in November. And then it all goes away. And then the midterms roll around and people are like, oh, there was a midterm yesterday? You know, suddenly there's like, oh, we can't be bothered anymore.
Yeah. And there's President Trump and a Republican Congress.
Yeah, or that happens, which is the worst case scenario. But say Bernie does get elected and then everyone goes home. It's just like, okay, we got him. Where's the guy? Give us. Gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, you got to vote in the midterms and you got to vote in the off-year elections, too. Like, really? Is Bernie on the ballot? No. Okay. Well, I'm just F it. I'm staying home. I'm going to take selfies with the dolphin. You know, yeah. So it's like, no, it's not how it works. It's not how it works. So I'm still waiting on that. Meanwhile, this new PPP poll shows Hillary Clinton dominating the early March primaries, as predicted. She's leading, she's leading everywhere except Massachusetts and Vermont.
Yeah.
Which is huge. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And completely predictable. I saw today online people are like, woo, winning in Vermont, 76 percentage point margin in Vermont.
Yeah, surprise.
Burn mentum. It's like, well, it's Vermont, please, Vermont. And then Massachusetts, it's right next door. Yeah. Maine, there's a Maine caucus.
Yeah, by the time we get to Super Tuesday, and then that you know, 2 weeks later when we have Florida and a couple other southern states. And, right. No, that's...
So...
This thing will be over as quickly as it started.
Exactly. Unless you think that we're just going to pick on Bernie Sanders. I don't know what the hell she was thinking. But Hillary Clinton on the stump the other day barked like a dog. Did you see
that? Yeah.
Here's that audio.
We need to get that dog and follow them around. And every time they say these things, like, oh, you know, the Great Recession was caused by too much regulation. You know?
Her campaign is over, clearly.
No, I think considering that that's probably the least crazy thing I've seen so far this year.
Yeah.
And that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it was one of those things that I saw going around. Oh, it's her Howard Dean moment.
No, it's not. No, it's just not.
We're going to take one last break and come back with more show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today. At Patreon.com/Bob and Chez, LittleGreenFootballs.com, BobSeska.com, TheHuffingtonPost.com, and Stitcher Radio, also at, of course, Realm Network. Okay, this new PP poll is a massive game changer for, I think, Bernie Sanders supporters. You know, again, this is just, I'm just reading the facts here. And it's one of those things that I think Sanders supporters would do well to just basically to bear this in mind and put in the extra effort. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, not just in terms of the margins of victory for Hillary Clinton in these forthcoming states coming up here in the beginning of March, but also among the African-American voters, where as much as Bernie Sanders is trying, and I think he's doing a solid job of trying desperately to win over African-American votes, it's not working out. I mean, you've got Alabama, where there's a margin of 45 points in Clinton's favor. Yeah. Arkansas, margin of 62 points. Yep. This is among black voters. Georgia, the margin is Clinton plus 56. Louisiana.
And let's remember that Hillary has almost all the superdelegates.
That's right.
And before anybody goes off half-cocked thinking that it's some kind of conspiracy, the superdelegate program exists specifically to stop people from hijacking the party.
That's right.
And Bernie kind of is. And not saying he's hijacking it because he's got these crazy ideas. He's hijacking it because he's only now decided he's a Democrat. Up until now, he spent a hell of a lot of time. He's caucused with them, but he spent a lot of time sort of purposely thumbing his nose at the Democrats.
Yeah. And that's why,
the Democrats reward whatever the political party is, it rewards loyalty. And Hillary Clinton is a Democratic leader, a leader within the party. It makes absolute sense that the superdelegates, the people who are sort of the movers and shakers within the party, would break more, at least now, certainly would break much more for Clinton than they would for Bernie Sanders.
That's right. And by the way, I mean, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show on Tuesday, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but the fact of the matter is that the superdelegate count can swing in Bernie's favor, too. It's not like the system isn't rigged for Hillary Clinton. The superdelegates are not there for Hillary Clinton. The superdelegates are there for whoever has the momentum to win.
Right.
And if Bernie Sanders looks like he's going to maybe get the nomination, I mean, if things twist in Bernie Sanders' direction in March, especially, a lot of these superdelegates, I mean, there's nothing committing them to Hillary Clinton.
No.
They're going to swing to Bernie Sanders.
No, and so, but they're going to give Hillary the benefit of the doubt for as long as they can.
Yeah.
Because, again, she is a Democrat.
That's right.
Has been a Democrat. She has been a loyal Democrat for the longest time imaginable.
Right, right. So, and then this leads us to this the story in the AP today. Starts out so much for Bernie Sanders' big win in New Hampshire. Since then, Hillary Clinton has picked up endorsements from 87 more superdelegates to the Democratic National Convention, dwarfing Sanders' gain from the New Hampshire primary, according to a new Associated Press survey. Sanders has added just 11 superdelegate endorsements. If these party insiders continue to back Clinton overwhelmingly, and they can change their minds, by the way, Sanders would have to win the remaining primaries by a landslide just to catch up. He would have to roll up big margins because every Democratic contest awards delegates in proportion to the vote, so even the loser can get some. After the contests in Iowa and New Hampshire, Sanders has a small 36-32 lead among delegates won in primaries and caucuses, but when superdelegates are included, Clinton leads 481-55, according to the AP count. It's essentially a parallel election that underscores Clinton's lopsided support for the Democratic establishment, or from the Democratic establishment. The disparity is sparked by backlash among some Sanders supporters who complain that the Democratic nominating process is decidedly undemocratic, rigged in favor of Clinton. Some of them, not part of the campaign, Sanders people say, are contacting superdelegates who have publicly endorsed Clinton. Their message isn't subtle or always welcome. I'm sick and tired of them, Cordelia Lewis Burks, a superdelegate from Indiana, said of the Sanders backers. Quote, it's very aggravating to be bashed on my own computer by these people who it's probably the first time they've ever voted. I've been in the trenches since I was 20.
Wow. Yeah.
Pressure tactics won't sway Lucy Johnson, another Indiana superdelegate who backs Clinton. Quote, they're saying, we're not going to forget this, Johnson said. I'm an African-American male who's in my 60s, Johnson said. I have experienced the struggles. The experiences they are sharing don't faze me in comparison. Superdelegates aren't new, the AP continues here. They've been part of the Democratic Party's nominating process since 1984. I know we talked about this on the postmortem show on Tuesday a little bit in regards to H.A. Goodman's horrible article in the Huffington Post. They automatically attend the national convention and can support the candidate of their choice, regardless of whom primary voters back. They are party leaders, members of Congress, party officials, and members of the Democratic National Committee. There are 712 superdelegates, about 30% of the 2,382 delegates needed to claim the nomination. So with Hillary Clinton at 481, she's almost a fourth of the way there,
right,
to getting the delegates she needs. And that's why we're saying it's going to be a heartbreaking march, at least based on these poll numbers as they stand now. Now, again, anything can change. Bernie Sanders' momentum. It's really, to me, this is the thing that I keep thinking about. To me, this entire race is Bernie Sanders versus the calendar, not Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton's numbers are pretty much static where they are.
Right.
We know where Hillary Clinton is going to be state by state. It's more a matter of where Bernie Sanders is going to go and whether or not he has enough time to get there.
Right. And I think that it's interesting because I think that while you can make the argument that it took him a while to get from, declaring his candidacy to where he is now, I actually think that he still wound up peaking early.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did. I think what he did is
because you're starting to see now. You knew it was going to happen, but you're starting to see the pieces come out. The pieces come out from the media. The pieces come, some of his political enemies are just like, look, this is pie in the sky thinking. This is stupid, and publishing these pieces about him that sort of expose, I don't want to say that they're I'm not even going to say whether they're right or wrong, but basically taking aim at him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's gotten a free ride for a long time.
What I'm seeing, and I think I wrote something to this effect in Salon, is what I'm seeing is that Bernie Sanders has done really well in these early states in which he's had the better part of a year to dedicate time and effort to. You know, like, it's like the first album syndrome. It's like you have your entire life to make your first record album.
Right.
And then you've got 6 months to make your second one. So the chances of the second one not being as good as the first one, which required a lifetime of planning and writing, The second one's invariably going to be weaker unless you catch lightning in a bottle. And it's possible for Bernie Sanders to catch lightning in a bottle. I haven't written off Bernie Sanders at all. I mean, he's got a lot of momentum. He's got a lot of support in some of the right places. He's got an interesting message. He's got a massive online effort going on, which references back to our Facebook rant of the previous segment. So there is a chance. It's just a matter, is there going to be enough time in the calendar for that momentum to build to the point where Hillary Clinton's lead is picked away and, you know, Bernie Sanders overtakes her in right. those primary states. And right now we've got a matter of just a few days. I think when's the next primary? Nevada's the 20th. That's a couple days away. Yep. South Carolina is 9 days away on the 27th. And then after that is March 1st, and it's going to be, I mean, she's not going to be able to do it. He's not going to be able to campaign in all these states. So, and then Rachel Maddow did an entire segment the other day in which she was talking about that he sort of did an analysis of the number of campaign offices in some of those states from named in the PPP poll, where the states they're showing huge leads for Hillary Clinton. And they're showing that Bernie Sanders is beefing up offices there, but Hillary Clinton has fewer offices.
Right.
And Rachel's thesis, and far be it from me to disagree with Rachel and question her analysis, and because, I mean, 99% of the time I'm agreeing with Rachel. The thing is, though, she was suggesting that the number of offices opened in those states indicate something with regard to Bernie Sanders' momentum in those states. And I tend to believe that it's something, it's again, we go back to Occam's razor. It has to do with Occam's razor, and that being campaigns have a limited or a finite amount of resources to spend on campaign offices. Why is Hillary Clinton going to spend all kinds of money on a state, you know, creating campaign offices and doing a lot of campaigning in a state where she's got a 50-point lead?
Yeah,
She's gonna go to states where she's got a 15-point lead or she's behind. She's not gonna go to state. She's not gonna go, you know, spend all kinds of additional money on, you know, African American voters in South Carolina because she's got that locked up. She's got that demographic locked up. She's got that state locked up. She doesn't need it. She's not going to open offices there. So that's, I mean, sure. There's always a chance. And and we could be very, very wrong on that. I haven't ruled this out. But we could be very, very wrong. Nate Silver could be wrong. There's always a shot. But it's very, very unlikely.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm going to hear it. And I've been hearing it. It's just math. It's numbers. I can't deny the existence of numbers that work against Bernie Sanders. I can't do that. Likewise, I mean, I can't ignore when Hillary Clinton does something stupid on the campaign trail.
Right.
And when those things pop up, and they will, we will certainly mention them. But right now, it's Bernie Sanders is the guy who's going to move this campaign one way or another. Hillary Clinton, as I said, is pretty much static at this point. People know her, and they get her, and her numbers are kind of locked out. So the candidate that's moving around and has the most momentum, of course he's going to get more scrutiny. Just the way it goes. He's the new guy in the block, gets all the attention. And in this case, it's not all good attention. I mean, it can't always be that. Not everybody gets a trophy. It's the way politics works. Sorry. All right, we got the Postmortem Show coming up next. You can sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Get a little bit of extra free show, or not free, but certainly connected to the free show. And talk a little Ben Carson. Why not? He's still in the race, and he's fun to make fun of. So, and we might even play this this new Bernie Sanders anthem.
Oh no!
That'll be coming up on the Postmortem Show. Go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Sign up for the $1 level, $5 level, $10, $15, or hell, if you got a lot of money, $150 a month. People are doing it. They're actually doing it. We'll see you on the postmortem show. And if you don't have that, then we'll see you on the free show on Tuesday. Take care. Have a great weekend, folks. Bye-bye.